Welcome to Focus on the Community, a weekly program that focuses on issues and events in our community.
And happy weekend. Welcome to another Focus on Community. I'm Frank Rush. By the way, if you miss any part of today's show, don't forget the podcast available for you anytime you want for download or to stream online on our website. Terre Haute Mayor Duke Bennett joins us today. How you doing?
I'm doing great, Frank. How are you?
Not too bad. Okay, post-pandemic. I say post-pandemic. It's not really over yet, but, you know, the big part is seems to be kind of over with. So how did the Wabash Valley weather the pandemic and the economic brunt?
You know, I think we did really well. Obviously, there were businesses that were affected, you know, retailers, restaurants, hospitality, you know, all of our hotels and motels, they all suffered, but they accessed PPP loans and some other financial little bit later, not when it was going on, but right. They've been able to make up for that after the fact. And so I think from a balance perspective, they're coming back. They're coming back strong. They're doing very well now. So maybe over a 2-year period, it'll look pretty normal, which is good because I really didn't know. I thought we might lose a few more businesses. Then if you look at our manufacturing, they pretty much held their own the whole time. The complaints I heard was the ability to find employees, because there were some people that just didn't want to come out in COVID. And then two, transportation. There was a backlog. You know, these manufacturers kept making things, but the whole economy kind of took a slowdown and they weren't able to ship their product. And so now that's coming back slowly too. So I think that all of our sectors from an economic perspective survived it pretty well. I mean, it could have been much worse here. You know, it's tough, especially for small businesses now, to still find people. And no matter what anybody says, I still think the extra money that people are getting for unemployment is keeping people at home. There's no doubt about that in my mind. Whenever that does expire, and the governor tried to expire it, and got put back in place, and that's fine. But in September, when it does go away, I think you'll see more people go back to work. And there's a lot of jobs open. And they have all raised their hourly wage. And so it'll be good for the economy and for individual households when they do go back to work.
I know this doesn't necessarily apply to all the jobs that are out there, but do we have the workforce with the necessary skill set to fill these jobs? I mean, now look, and I'm not belittling people that do this. Fast food order takers is one thing, okay? But when you start talking about some of the machine shops that build parts for aerospace that we have several of those around here, and some of the other more technically, you know, inclined jobs. Do we have the workforce for that?
So I would say yes, only because those people that might be in fast food or retail or whatever, there is all kinds of job training opportunities out there that cost you nothing. If you get hired by a local employer that might do some of these manufacturing kind of things, they will train you on the job. They will give you the skills you need. There are programs at Ivy Tech that are paid for already, zero cost to you. And so what would be good is if we could see some of those folks that maybe are in those more entry level or, you know, basic line jobs, even though I saw Rally sign the other day, they're paying $13 an hour to start. That's kind of hard to fathom.
Yeah.
But if you're working at a place like that and you want to have more of a career somewhere, there right now is the time I've never seen so much free training either provided by the employer or by, you know, Ivy Tech or somebody else that you can take that next step up. And if we could help some of these people get up to that next level, get to that $20 an hour range, you'll be able to do a lot more things, obviously, with that, buy a home, whatever. And that's where I think there are people, we just have to help them, you know, and point them in the direction of getting those extra skill sets that will pay, get those better paying jobs for them.
And that's part of the governor and the state legislature's next level jobs, too. They're the ones that are paying Ivy Tech to offer these classes and provide the training. It's there if you just go down and sign up for it.
You know, there's a coding class that I heard recently. That it's only a few weeks long. And if you don't know anything about coding, okay, you know, software, you can go do that class and it's free. And then that will position you that somebody will probably hire you in a good paying, very good paying job. It'd be probably more than $20 an hour where you'd be able to then expand your career. They're going to provide additional training for you to get you where they need you to be. And so sometimes it's just taking that plunge and deciding to make a career change or do something to better yourself.
And we see lots of industries here in our area that need workers. I mean, one of the things right now, we have this huge shortage of housing, and which has caused the prices to just go nutty. Mm-hmm. But if we had, obviously materials plays into that, but if we had more people that were qualified to be plumbers, electricians, framers, there's training out there for that, too.
Absolutely.
And those are good jobs. Yeah, sometimes it's going to be a little hot. Sometimes it could be a little cold. But you can make really good money doing that if you're even halfway capable.
You can. And, of course, all the, you know, the unions provide all kinds of training for
lots
that.
Lots of apprenticeship programs.
Yeah, you know, and they're going to expose you to a lot of different things in that particular field, and you choose a career path, you know, and those jobs are going to be there. We're going to have plenty of things to be built in the future around here in West Central Indiana. And so it's really sometimes, you know, maybe something like COVID will make people kind of reevaluate where they're at. But I think the pool to fill most of these jobs is here. What I worry about more is new jobs coming in. The pool's not growing, and so you'll be able to move some of these folks up into these jobs, but how are we going to fill even more jobs as we bring additional employers here?
As we speak about production or construction, well, we've got that big convention center going up downtown.
Yep, it looks great. If you haven't been by there recently, take a drive downtown and see it. The glass is going up on the front. It's really a game changer for Terre Haute. It seriously is. You know, I still have people saying, well, I don't know how we're going to keep it busy. We absolutely will keep it busy. There are plenty of regional conventions that move all around, and we've known that from the beginning. We've done two different studies before we moved ahead with the project, and nothing has changed on that. So it's just going to be a great addition, more people coming to Terre Haute and being downtown.
When you talk about the fact that you did your research on that, and let's face it, a lot of these, now we are probably not going to get, you know, I don't know, some major national convention.
No, and that's not what we're competing for.
No, well, first of all, the facility is not going to be big enough for that.
Yep, exactly.
And that wasn't what you were going for. You're going for, you're going actually for, and I don't take this the wrong way, you're going for some of the more low-hanging fruit, you know, which is there's a lot of money in the smaller get-togethers. So these plan a year, two, three in advance sometimes for the regulars. So is your phone ringing yet?
Yes, what I've been told, we've got five that are kind of booked now. I don't know if they've signed the contracts yet, but it's in the process.
Strong interest anyway.
Yeah, they're coming, just, you know, getting the contract signed. Yeah. So it will take a few years because a lot of these, even the regional ones, book out, as you said, two, three, and four years out. They've just never been able to come to Terre Haute. And so there's a lot of them. You know, we may have, over the next few years, we're going to start to see a lot of these 200 and 300 people conventions come here for 2 or 3 days, you know, and it's going to be, and of course, there'll be a lot of local events that can be hosted in this facility. So it's going to be a nice mix.
Well, that's good. When we talk about that and buildings, are we ever going to build a casino? Because, I mean, after that'd be something nicer folks kept it down. If they want to do something when they come to their convention here, they go take a little side trip to the One-Armed Bandit, so to speak.
It all fits. You know, so frustrating. I don't even know really what to say or what's going on. We will get a casino. We know that for a fact because a license has been, by the legislature, they've put one in Terre Haute. So,
well, you assume so because it's not going to get built until somebody gets the license and actually puts money on the table.
But we will have a casino. Yeah. The question is who will own it? You know, who will build it and who will own it? I'm hopeful that Greg and his, you know, Lucy Luck will be able to get that because he's going to give much more back to the community than some, you know, big outside organization that comes in here that doesn't have the desire to give back to the community the same way. So we're going to continue to support Greg and everybody I talk to feels the same way. Hopefully he'll be able to get whatever issues that are left on the table with the Gaming Commission, get those worked out and get it going.
I will throw this out just for you to go ahead and answer because I call it the chattering class, like to sit and talk about these things, and it seems like Facebook's a good place to do that.
Yeah.
Okay, so we have the license, but there's a lot of people that feel, rightly or wrongly, that the Gaming Commission or some folks in Indianapolis just don't like us over here, and it's just another you know, stumbling block that they threw down in front of us because, those people in Terre Haute.
Now, I don't sense that, and here's why I say that.
But I'm just bringing that up, and you know as I do,
no,
people say that.
I'm certain there are people saying that, especially maybe older people that have seen a lot of that over the years, you know, have experienced that. But we would have never – it's almost a miracle that we were able to get that through the legislature. There are a lot of communities that have tried. Mm-hmm. Maybe they didn't try quite as hard as we did. I don't know. We really put a good effort in.
And there are some communities that already have casinos that certainly didn't want to see ours get built.
You're exactly right. But there are other communities that don't have them that have tried to start the process, but it just never went anywhere. Legislature said no. So here we got it through as a community. And so that told me a lot right there that they did support Terre Haute. And the governor's been great for Terre Haute. I mean, he really has. He's my third governor that I've had to work with. They've all been completely different, but he is really focused, and he talks about Terre Haute a lot when he goes around the state and other places. I hear that from other mayors. And so I think that old stuff is behind us. I think it's a combination of other casinos still just trying to delay the project. You know, the state's going to make $75 million a year off this thing in taxes. So I think that's a pretty good, you know, positive, even though they end up with $4 billion surplus here.
I was going to say, money is money. They don't need the money right
I know,
now.
But money is money. And so I think that there's just some things from the previous ownership, you know, that Greg was partnered with. Some of that still has to be flushed out. I think it's getting there and it'll be done. Mm-hmm. I think that's part of some of the heartburn they have, and just overcoming a few little obstacles that they're just not quite there yet. And so that's what I sense. And so I think we're going to, I've been telling people since last October, you know, it's coming. Yeah. I just don't, this last delay was surprising and frustrating.
I'm not going to ask you to commit to something that you're not comfortable with, but the East Side seems to be bustling now, like the South Side did about 30 years ago. Are we on the cusp of some really big things on top of the casino happening on the East Side of town?
You know, I think you're going to see much more development out there. I don't know how much retail, I think, restaurants or anything else, that will be driven by people who are out there. Mm-hmm. I think you're going to see more housing. I think whether it's maybe some more apartments and some subdivision kind of thing out in that area. I am still very confident that we will get some kind of an additional mission at the airport. Obviously, we didn't get the F-35s, but there's something else, other things in the pipeline. We really came out well on that. We just didn't get the big one. And as that conversation continues on and people are kind of looking and like, well, we know things are coming. You're starting to have local investors look and think about what they might do out there to take advantage of that. So I think you're going to still continue to see growth behind Walmart. You know, we're still intend to do an extension of the road back there. Once some of that becomes developed, the new VA clinic back there, if you haven't been back to see that, it looks absolutely beautiful right behind Walmart. Mm-hmm. And they're going to serve 10,000 veterans a year out of that building. You know, it's every one of those little pieces goes towards then things will come in and fill what's missing out there. And so I think I'd like to see more sit down restaurants out there as an example. You know, we've got fast food and a couple sit downs, but, I really think that will be the next area because there's still a lot of land out there that can be developed to the north and to the west. And then the airport property, there's plenty of property around it.
You talk about all those pieces coming together. Is there a piece that's missing that we as the community, as the Wabash Valley, need to step up and provide? Is there something that you feel that you don't have in your toolkit when you go out and start talking about us to other people? What are we missing?
You know, I think we need a few more quality of life projects. And what I mean by that is I would love to see a new water facility here, indoor, outdoor, you know, water park kind of a situation. Yeah. You need things like that because if people are going to come to Terre Haute, they need multiple things to do. I think we need some things in that area, which could be a variety of things that serve both the people that live here, but also people that visit us. Because if you're going to come to Terre Haute for a convention, let's say, or you're coming here for graduation at ISU or Rose Hallman or something, or you're coming for cross-country meet, whatever that might be, and you see these things happening, it draws you to the community. You want to come back. And we need to take care of the folks that live here too and give them some amenities and things to do to make it a more exciting place. So I think that's probably the next phase of what we look at. The mill has been very good so far to bring, you know, music entertainment here. So we're starting to kind of fill some of those gaps, some of it privately funded and some of it will probably be publicly funded. But I think that's the next phase. We really need to improve that quality of life.
And that's an interesting thing that you bring up, because the mill, even though it was built on that, you know, out there by the river where it's at, is a private enterprise.
Mm-hmm.
A water park, though, is that private?
I could see
public?
It being a public-private partnership, probably, because, you know, you can, technically, if you just build an outdoor facility, it's only open for 4 months a year.
Right.
I would like to see an indoor component to that, similar to what Plainfield has and some other communities that I visited. And that would probably require a public-private partnership, which is fine. There would be components of that that the city or the county or the CIB or somebody could operate, but then have a private partner to do a portion of that too. So there's ways to make that work, and there's partners out there that look for those kind of projects every day.
Not to wrap this up on a down note, but of course, another police officer in Terre Haute, shot and killed in the line of duty.
Awful.
Greg Ferency. It's horrible.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll ask you the impossible question. What can we do to stop this from ever happening again? Because nobody wants it to happen.
No, they don't. It, you know, we live in very difficult times right now. There's just a lot of issues with gunplay and in communities. We don't have a lot of that in Terre Haute. We really don't. But, you know, right over here in Indianapolis, you see every weekend, it seems like the numbers go up.
Indianapolis is turning almost like a war zone.
And I hate that. I mean, yeah. I love Indianapolis. I love to go over there on the weekends, but I'm, you know, it's kind of...
It's a big city now.
It is. It's a little scary. But all police officers are just, you know, treated really, it's not good the way they're treated these days. People, whether they're just yelling at them or fighting with them or, you know, shooting them. I mean, it's bad. And it's a profession that it's changed a lot. You know, I feel for these men and women that we have in the Terre Haute Police Department, because 20 years ago, it wasn't like this. And today, it's just a very volatile environment. And here, our third police officer in 10 years killed. I mean, that's way more than an average for a city of our size. And I just feel so bad for their family, Greg's family, for our Terre Haute Police Department, all the law enforcement officers, because it was such a shock. You know, it happened in an area where you wouldn't expect something like that. Just an ambush situation has been described by the FBI, which is exactly how I would put it. And it just shows you how, you know, fragile life can be and how that police environment is just really, it's tough right now.
And to maybe turn the mood up just a little bit as we close out, speaking of police, they've got a new headquarters coming fairly
soon. Absolutely. It looks great, too. I haven't been in there in a couple of weeks, but we should be in there by the end of the month, Labor Day. You know,
you had an open house or something so we can all kind of see it?
We're going to do it. We're going to absolutely have a ribbon cutting and an open house, and then we're planning on having a kids' night or something, a kind of a community outreach thing to bring people in the evening. So we'll have
bring
a couple
Junior
more
down and lock them up.
You know. just to really let people see it, because we're pretty proud of it. I mean, it came out to be a much better deal financially for us to take that building over and have that extra 10,000 square feet for the same cost of building a smaller building. And boy, when you look at it, it's just like, man, this is head and shoulders above anything we've ever had before.
Now, in all fairness, since it's became a headquarters now, that has taken that building and that property off the tax rolls. So are we still better
but
for
we're
that?
Gonna, absolutely, because we're going to tear down the existing building and put that property back on the tax rolls with some new development. So we'll work on that here this fall.
Terre Haute Mayor Duke Bennett, thank you, sir, for being with us today. If you missed any part of today's conversation, it's on our website right now as a podcast, and we will see you next week.
You've been listening to Focus on the Community, a weekly public affairs program that focuses on issues and events in our community. To be considered as a guest on Focus on the Community, contact us by calling 812-420-2518. Be sure and tune in again next week at this time as we focus on the community.